There's a verse for everything. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end. Then cometh the end. It's our last time. It's always, for me, the most gut-wrenching part of the camp week is when I preach to you guys for the last time, because I've said all I can say. But one thing I want to impress upon you all from my heart to you, your hearts, is that I love you kids. You'll hear me say that to you. You might just walk up. We haven't even met. And I'll say, I love you. And I mean that. I love you all. I want God's plan and best and his will for your life. And I love you. And that's what's brought me back every year, is that my love for you all. And what's blessed me is when you guys have felt comfortable enough to come to me. I hope I never seem like a guy you can't approach. Let's talk. Where's Sister Marcia? Where's she at? Girl, I got you. Last night she came and she said, Pastor Aaron, you're so intimidating. I said, What? Well, might be for different reasons, Pastor. But I don't want to be that one. I told Marcia that last night. I want to be somebody that you guys can just walk up to and talk to me like I'm your friend. I want to be your friend. Whatever I can do to convey that or convince you of that, that's what I want. And I know something that maybe none of the other leaders know. Because typically the fellow that's doing what he's doing, he figures it out before everybody else does. There's going to come a day when I'm not the guy up here anymore doing these services. Because then cometh the end. But I hope that not just for me, but for anybody that stands up here and loves you, the people that love you out there on the ball fields. How many of you have been so blessed by adults this week that have poured some of their life into yours? Any of you, could you raise your hand first of all to just show a sign of appreciation for the adults that have been here? And then can you guys just clap your hands in honor of them for the ones that have helped you this week? I've gone to camp for many, many years. And when I was a child, there were adults that poured into me, and I still remember them. Most of those people are probably gone today, gone into heaven. But I still remember what they poured into my life. And I hope you've got till tomorrow morning, midday, together. I hope that if there's an adult here that's touched your life, that you'll go to them and you will thank them for what they did. And they may seem intimidating to approach. How many of you adults here this morning are like me? You want the kids to feel free to come to you at any time, and you want to be their friend. That's the heart of our adults. And that's what we want to be for you guys. And so please go and let them know that you love them and you appreciate what they've done for you this week. Does that sound good, kids? Now, are you guys tired? Did we lay a mountain on you yesterday or what? You know, how many of you are Star Wars fans? Anybody Star Wars fans? I'll get your attention this way, right? All right, so have you seen the new, like, little series they do of Star Wars? And what's the one? Is it Obi-Wan? Is that the one where he's running from Darth Vader's trying to get him? And you guys that are Star Wars fans understand that. And finally, the big scene in the show is when they're on this planet, you know, and Darth Vader's finally caught up to Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? And he begins to really beat up Obi-Wan Kenobi. How many of you are familiar with that, right? And then he uses the Force and he buries him under a mountain of rubble. How many of you all remember when that happens in that scene? I feel like I did that to you all yesterday when I came in here and I preached. I laid a mountain on top of you of like stuff. And I am sorry about that in the sense that I know it's a lot to take in. But I'm not sorry for teaching you what the Bible says. And I want you to know that Jesus has forever covered your sins. They're gone. I want you to know that he's clothed you in a robe of righteousness. That you aren't made righteous by the good things you do. And you're not, righteousness isn't undone by the bad things you do. And I wanted you to know that Jesus is the one that's made you to be born again. How many of you are thankful that he's done those things? Who doesn't want to go home? Why? Holler some answers out. I'll try to hear the ones you holler. What's that? Got to go to work. Okay. Well, we know who's slothful amongst us today. All right, let's move on. Why else don't you want to go home? What can you give? Anybody else? What is it? Atmosphere. Did somebody say atmosphere? How many of you are concerned about the atmosphere? Anybody else? What is it that you're concerned about? What is it? Chores? We got some more slothful ones. Very good. What other reasons? Going back to my old life. How many of you are afraid that you will be tempted to kind of slip into the old life? Now, guys, the girls are doing all the talking. Young man, what were you going to say? What she said. She stole your answer. There's thieves in here today. I thought I talked to y'all about being thieves. Anybody else? What you got? Brody, right? What's your answer? School? Who's here says, man, I'm dreading school. Anybody changing buildings this year, going from one building to another building? Does that freak you guys out? Man, that always freaked me out. There's more slothful ones. She don't want to do dishes when she goes home. Pam said, I don't want to do either. Pam, you got two kids. I don't know why you're doing dishes and a husband. Praise the Lord. Is Derek here? He's going to kill me. Praise the Lord, Derek ain't here. Can I talk to you guys today a little bit about going home? So the title of my message today, see if this slide doesn't describe your life. It's bold in the presence of my enemies. How many of you say that picture describes what I'm going back to? I'm trying to be that lion, but above me are all these enemies. I've tried really hard, and others have as well. How many of you were thankful for Pastor Nate's message to you last night? Do you guys honor him? I had to step out. I'm getting old. This is why I know my time's coming to a close. I'm getting old. I got a hip that's giving me a lot of trouble. I want you guys to pray for me, if you will, about that. I've been believing for God to heal me. And it hurt so severely last night, I had to step out. But when I came back in, it was like a bomb had gone off in here. And people were crying, and they were just wrecked. And Pastor, I love you. Appreciate you. We've been real inspirational. We've been trying to inspire you. When you sing that song, if the only thing I reach is your feet. How many of you just want to like blow up? When you're singing that, it's like I'm going to explode as I sing this song, right? That's inspirational. But we've got to kind of move away from that. And this morning into what I would call instructional. You've got the inspiration in your hearts, but now you need the tools to know how to walk out what you've been inspired to do. Does that make sense? And so I want to talk about you with that with you this morning, if you guys will just put up with me. So there are two things that you can count on when you go home. You can guarantee they're going to be there. Our verse shows us those two things, and it's verse 5 of Psalm 23. If you got your Bibles, go there. Does everybody have something to write on? Can you raise your hands here? Who doesn't have something to write on? Who doesn't have something to write on? Pastor, do we have paper and pens that... So, like, can somebody help me with that? Just grab some paper and pens. And if you don't have something to write on, Brother Derek and his wife are going to be coming through. And just wave at them, and they'll get it to you, okay? So just try to listen and watch for them as they come through. But our verse, you guys got your Bibles there? Psalm 23, verse 5. And we're only going to deal with the first half of the verse. We just don't have time to look at the whole thing. It says, thou, who's the thou there? Help me, guys. Somebody said God. You said Jesus. Yes, this is the shepherd's psalm, right? So Psalm 23, how many of you have ever heard Psalm 23? Who's ever been to a funeral? You've heard Psalm 23 because that's where we quote it all the time. It's the funeral psalm, right? Well, I was at a funeral one time for the mother of one of my church elders, and the minister that was doing the funeral shared something, just dropped a bomb on me in the middle of the funeral that has just wrecked me and resonated with me since that day. So his mom's there, and he reads Psalm 23, and he said, you know what? He asked this question. He said, what inspired David to write Psalm 23? You guys know Psalm 23. How many of you could quote Psalm 23? Anybody can quote it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You guys know the psalm, right? And so he said, what inspired David to write this shepherd's psalm, right? He said, I think that David was sitting on the side of a hill, because it is believed that David wrote this psalm when he was still a shepherd boy. He was known for many songs Psalms are just songs. He was a songwriter, right? So he was known for this. And the pastor said, I think he was sitting on the side of a hill looking over just a small flock of sheep. We know it was a small flock of sheep because his brother Eliab, when he went to fight Goliath, he was jealous of David. And he said, who did you leave the little flock of sheep with in the wilderness? So it wasn't as this huge flock. But David had laid down his life for this flock. How many of you remember that? What two animals did David fight? Anybody remember what two animals David fought? Lion and a bear. Very good. You get the gold star. Lion and a bear. Right? And so he literally goes over, David says, and took a hold of the bear's or the lion's beard. Can you bring that picture back up for me of just our slide? I just want to show you. You know, a male lion's got that mane, right? He grabbed a hold of that mane, and he took the lamb out of the lion's mouth. How many like David had to be a bad dude to do that, right? And then he said, I killed the lion. And he did the same to the bear. He ran over and grabbed a hold of him, took the lion or the lamb out of the bear's mouth, and killed it, right? So David's sitting on this hillside, the pastor said at the service. And he said, God, I've fought off lions for my sheep. And I have fought off bears for my sheep. I've laid down my life for my sheep. Listen to this, guys. But then David thought, the pastor said this, I thought it was brilliant. He said, David must have thought, but who's going to take care of me? And immediately the answer flooded his soul, and it was this. The Lord is my shepherd. He will take care of me. And so that's the context of the psalm. It is the protecting, providing, sheltering, covering, leading, guiding psalm of the shepherd to us as his sheep. Does everybody understand that, right? Instructional. We get it. So in the instruction, he says, you, Jesus, our shepherd, prepares a table before us where? In the presence of our enemies. Will you bring that picture back up for me? Jeremiah, thank you, buddy. I appreciate your help today. So that is what it looks like, right? He's made a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So there's two things. This is just information, right? Instructional stuff. Two things you can count on when you go home. Number one, there will be enemies there. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Take it to the bank. How many of you adults here this morning say, amen, there are enemies when you go home, right? We get it, right? We understand it. And so the lion's laying here. He's surrounded by enemies. And so the first thing, if we know that enemies are going to be there, the first thing that we've got to be able to do, this is instructional, is that we have to be able to identify an enemy. And that's been some of your all's biggest problems, is that you have mistaken enemies for friends. And you've got to be able to figure out which is which. And you say, Pastor, how in the world am I able to discern whether or not somebody's going to be my friend or somebody is actually my enemy? Here's the single, I'll make it simple for you. Anybody or anything that tries to hinder your walk with Jesus is your enemy. Anything, any person, anything that tries to hinder your walk with Jesus is your enemy. And so you've got to take inventory of your life. That means I'm going to walk through the corridors, metaphorically, of my life, and I'm going to pick this up, whatever this thing is. And I'm going to say, is this helping me in my walk with Jesus, or is it hurting me in my walk with Jesus? And if I can't say it's helping me, it is a hindrance, and it is an enemy, and I've got to get it out of my life, because I can't be bringing enemies to the table. We're going to talk about that in a second. So I've got to go through and take inventory. But here's the biggest problem. It's one thing to get rid of stuff. It's another thing to get rid of people. How many of you are afraid that you may have to go home and sever some relationships? You've got to take inventory. Let's just be real with each other. How many of you right now can think of some things in your life that's an enemy has got to go when you get off the bus, when you step out of the van, you've got to get it out of your life? Why don't you write that down? Make a list. Enemies I'm already aware of in my life. Just something like that. Write it down on the paper and begin writing those things down. You say, why do you want us to write it down? Because I want you to put it in black and white so that it stands as a witness against you and for you when you get home. You know this has to go. I can't let this stay in my life. Amen? And so why don't you take a minute, all of you. I'm going to give you, let's just take like 1 minute. I want you to write down three things that you know in your life are enemies that have got to go when you get home. Go ahead. I'm gonna give you just a minute. How many of you couldn't stop at three? Keep going. How many of you are having trouble stopping at three? Anybody got four? How about five? Listen, don't stop at three because Pastor said three. If you know of more, write down more. We're putting this on record. We're being honest about what has to be dealt with. Now, while others are still writing, anybody still writing? Just wave at me if you're still writing. Keep going. Now, while others are writing, those of you that maybe have kind of hit writer's block here, you can't think of anything else, can somebody shout out for me an enemy that you've got to get rid of? If it's the name of a person, shout it out. We don't know who they are, but we'll just, by shouting it out, you're just letting us know this has got to go. You know, you can just give us a first name. You don't have to give us a last, or you can name a thing. Anybody? Anybody want to shout something out? What's that? Music. Got to go. How many of you would agree with that? How many of you need to just go home and like delete the Spotify playlists? I got to get this stuff gone or whatever you listen through, right? Anybody else? What's something that's got to go? Did I hear anger? Anger's got to go. What I hear over here? Man, I'm half deaf. I'm sorry. Nolan, very good. Got to go. You name, and I appreciate that. You got to put a name on some things, right? Anybody else? Blue shirt, what'd you say? Unforgiving. Is that what you said? I've got to be able to forgive. How many of you agree with that? I've got to let go of these things. That's an enemy to me, right? To not forgive. Let me say this. You know what unforgiveness is? How do you look at me? You know what unforgiveness is? It's you swallowing poison and hoping the other person dies. It will never help you. So you got to get that. This is killing me. It's not hurting them. It's killing me, right? What'd you say, young lady? Foul language. How many of you say, I got to change the way I talk? Who was dropping words before you come to camp? Let's be honest, right? I have adults in my church. Sometimes they're like, Pastor, I had a rough week. With what? With my words. Now, do I say get out of the church? No, I say, all right, let's talk about that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why is that going on? Listen, we don't want to cast you aside because you mess up. You're not made righteous by the good and bad things you do, but the good and bad things we do really expose the places that we're struggling and we need the Lord's help, right? So you guys getting it? How many of you have got a list here of things that you know? These are enemies. That I've got to get these things out of my life, right? And so here's the thing. Enemies often appear in the form of people, right? No, you said Nolan, right? They appear in the form of people. Listen to what Jesus said. How many of you guys got to get this? Some of your enemies are going to be people that you live with. And you say, I don't know what to do about that. Matthew 10:36, Jesus said, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. There are people in our homes, right? And so it isn't just that there'll be people that we deal with. It might be people that we live with in our own household. And so, listen, it's one thing to cut off a relationship you can cut off, right? But what do I do when I live with somebody who's trying to discourage my walk with God? We're going to talk about that just briefly this morning, right? So I have a lady here in the back here. Everybody see the lady in the black shirt sitting up there on this side, on the very end up there? Very, very last row of people back there, right? Her name is Brenda. Everybody say, hey, Brenda. All right, so wave at them, Brenda, so they know which one you are, right? So Brenda gave her heart to the Lord. Now, we said 12 years last night, right, that Ron wasn't walking, but Ron's been saved since 2020. So Brenda, I got to do math in my head now. So about 17 years ago, Brenda gave her heart to the Lord. And after she got saved, she wanted to get baptized. She told me last night, and I could tell it still bothered her. She said, Pastor, when I got baptized, the two men in my life that were the closest to me, my husband, Ron, and my son, Jared, would not come to my baptism. She said, Pastor, my husband, Ron, would say to me, I want my old Brenda back. And I said, because I'd heard her say that before. I said, Brenda, was that like a one-off? She said, Pastor, it was over, and it was over, and it was over. And he kept trying to encourage me to go back and to do, she said, worldly things. How many of you know when we say worldly things, use that phrase, you understand what that means? It's the stuff the world does, right? That's just real destructive. People that don't serve Jesus do. That's worldly things, right? And she said he kept just trying to encourage her to go away. And for 12 years, she stood in that relationship that she could not sever. Nor wanted to sever. I want to clarify that. She loved her husband, but she could not be what her husband wanted her to be anymore because she now was serving another king. And for 12 years, She was faithful and she served Jesus before the eyes of her husband. COVID hit. We did an outside Easter egg hunt at our church. And because, you know, you couldn't go inside the building because of COVID, so everybody's outside spread out. Ron comes to that Easter egg hunt. I want you to know, when you live around somebody who is godly, you know what happens to the sinner? Let me give you some insight. You say, does it make any difference, Pastor? I don't think it makes a difference. It chews on their heart night and day. The psalmist said, my bones were broken in pieces by your gnawing of a lion, is what he said, meaning you so convicted me. David said, my moisture was turned into the drought of summer because your hand was laid heavy on me. Everywhere Ron went, Ron was convicted. And then the ladies in the church decided they were going to love on Ron a little bit, and a lady by the name of Mary Littrell made an apple pie for Ron because she knew Ron liked apple pies and wanted to minister to him, and she sent it home to Ron. Brenda said, Ron was sitting, was he in the living room eating that thing or something? Brenda, sitting in a chair. She said, all of a sudden I walk in, he's weeping, he's crying. She said, Ron, what's wrong with you? He said, Brenda, this tastes exactly like my mother used to make. What happened? Cracks are beginning to form in the walls of his resistance of his heart. And just day in and day out, people consistently serving the Lord in the presence of their enemies is not weakening them, it's weakening their enemies. So in 2020, we have this Easter egg hunt, and Ron's been beat around like a redheaded stepchild by the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And he's standing out there in that parking lot, and my son Aaron was there that day. And I believe this is what you must have said to Ron. We've tried to figure it out because Ron won't tell us. It's just something so precious that Ron, it's Ron's and Jesus, and I think I'm cool with that. But I believe Aaron just basically went to Ron and they talked for a little bit, and Aaron said to him, Aaron would have been 20 years old at the time, and Ron, I love you. Three words ended a war. The next Sunday, Ron was in church. It was Easter, I believe. Wasn't it Easter, Brenda? In church. He come down to the altar not long after that. And I said, Ron, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? No, Pastor, I haven't. Would you like to pray? I would like it very much. And we bowed our heads and we prayed. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Some of you are that close. To adversaries becoming allies. If I picked up my phone, I don't have it on me. If I picked up my phone right now and called Ron Williams and said, Ron, I need fill in the blank. You know what Ron would do? He'd do it. We just got a new church property. He came to me right after he got it. He said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you this. I will do everything I can to help our church in this new property. And so what do I do when I go home and the enemies are the people of my own house? Live as Christ before them. Stop hating. Stop being angry. Stop being bitter over what they say. It will hurt. Did it hurt, Brenda? Where'd you take it? To the Lord. You prepare a table. She took it to the table. Enemies are going to be there. Now, here's the thing you got to get about people. It's Ephesians 6:12. Your enemy isn't the person. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting who? People. We're not fighting them. But we're fighting principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness. What that means is evil spirits, evil influences are controlling them. And that is what we are fighting. And you've got to be able to identify the difference between the person and the spirit that is in them. Does that make sense to everybody? Again, this isn't inspirational. It's instructional. You guys got to get this into your hearts. Amen. However, there are other relationships that you do not live with. What are some relationships we got, but it ain't mom, dad, brother, sister? It ain't things like that. Come on, what are some relationships? Friends. What else? Girlfriend. Boyfriend. People, what's that? Co-workers. There are people that are in your life that you've gotten too close to, and you are supposed to have a table with the Lord, but instead you've created a table with your very enemies. How many of you can think of somebody right now that they will do everything in their power to undo what you have had happen to you this week at camp? So when you go home, can you maintain that relationship anymore? No. You're going to have the guts to stand up and look them in the eye and say, listen, I serve Jesus Christ. And then ask, you say, how do I break it off? Will you support me in my endeavor to serve Jesus Christ? And but what I mean by that is, we can't cuss no more. We can't do this no more. We can't go here no more. Name all the stuff that you've been doing with them. I can't do this anymore. Are you willing to let go of all that? And I can tell you what they're going to say, no. And you're going to say, because of that, I cannot have a relationship with you anymore. It isn't that I don't love you. It isn't that I hate you. I'm trying to serve Jesus. And if you can't go with me, then I'm going to go by myself. You see, the problem with you guys is that you think you can do it both. I can have these friendships and I can sit at the table and you can't. Psalm 1:1 is a brilliant verse. And the psalm writer had just divine wisdom in what he wrote. It was God's thoughts for us. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, listening to their advice. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. I do the TikTok dances they do. I listen to the music they do. I say the things they say. I'm standing as they stand. I'm looking like them. Blessed is the man that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Before you know it, you're sitting at a table, right? Doing the very stuff they're doing. But what do you see here in this verse? Look deeper. It's a progression. He goes from walking to what? Standing to what? And that's what you guys have been doing. You're like the frog that gets boiled in water. They just turn it up slow and he gets boiled alive. Don't even know he's being killed. Stop walking, because then you'll stop standing and then you'll stop sitting. Get the progression broken out of your life. Well, I got to have a verse to cut people out of my life. I know I've dealt with stubborn people for 25 years preaching this word. I know you need a verse. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? What fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? What communion does light have with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial or worthlessness or wickedness? What part does he that believe have with an unbeliever? What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Wherefore? Because of. Remember, wherefore means because of. Because of this, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and then I'll be your father, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Almighty. You know why some of you can't stand the fact of letting go of relationships? You know why some of you can't break? Bring that picture back up. You know why some of you are lions hanging out with hyenas? It's because you are too afraid to be alone. How many of you adults here? Help me out, adults. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you really were serious. You may have fooled around with him before, but you got serious about serving the Lord. How many of you, when you made that decision, you suddenly found yourself very, very, very alone? If that's one of you adults, I want you to stand for me. Stand. Don't raise your hand. Stand for me if you will. I want you to stand. Now stand there for a second. Now kids, I want you to look around this room. Do you see somebody standing here that you love? Do you see somebody standing here you respect? Do you see somebody standing here and you say, I want to be just like them? If you see somebody here you want to be just like, raise your hand. Adults, I want you to see this. You think your life had made a difference this week. They want to be like you. You know how they got what they were? They were people who said, I'm not running with jackals and I'm not running with hyenas. I'm a lion and I'm going to walk with one, the boldest lion. And they were willing to walk alone while everybody else needed a group of hyenas. They needed an influence in their life. You guys can be seated. If you're going to do this, kids, it is going to be lonely. You're going to have lonely hours. It's going to be difficult. That's why what Jacob said today and what Tag said today, you've got to connect with your church. You've got to connect with your youth group. You've got to connect with somebody. And listen, don't be afraid to hang out with old people. Us old people are pretty cool. Anybody in South Charleston Christian Center that wants to go get a hamburger and you're lonely, you call Pastor. I'll take you to get a hamburger and I'll pay for it. I love the kids at our church. If you're in Water Valley, get a steak. Pastor will pay for it. Whoa, 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 whoa. So one thing's for sure, when I go home, what is there going to be? Enemies. But the psalmist said in verse 5, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. The second thing you can be sure of when you go home is there's going to be a table. Pastor, where's that table at? Jonathan, grab this podium for me. Carry it over there just for a second. Just set it right here. Put me a chair right here. You want to help me? We have a seat? All right, boys. How many of you think I can handle myself? I can handle myself. Any of you boys feel that way? I'm not afraid to stand up for myself. I think I can stand up to some people. How many of you boys feel pretty strong? You boys feel pretty strong? Stand. If you feel pretty strong, stand up. I feel pretty strong. Man. They don't look. All right, boys, here's what I want you to do. Now, you got to help me here. Who's the senior? If you're not a senior boy, sit down. Did anybody sit down? All the junior boys are like, they're shaking their fists back there. I can't see them. All right. Let me take front row. Just sit down for me. Sorry, guys. I'm just going to have too many of you is what's going on. Let me have all you guys in those two rows that are still standing. Here's what we're going to do before you move. You guys are the hyenas, and he's at the table. You with me? I need you to play your part well, right? This is like your big break. You guys are the hyenas, and I need you to walk around him, just circle him. Go whichever direction you want. You don't have to go in unison. You walk however you want, and I want you to, as you walk around, look at him like you just want to tear him up. Just walk all around him, okay? Can you guys do that for me? Now, listen, don't you sit there scared. You sit there and sit up. You're a king's man. Now, y'all walk around. Look at him. Don't look at us. You look at him. Don't walk in the same direction. Go different directions. That's what hyenas do, man. They go all kinds of directions. That's right. Go against the flow. Now, spread out. Get a little further from him. Get a little further from him. Spread out a little wider because you don't want to be right on top of him. You just want him to know that you're out here. We're out here. We're waiting on you. Spread out a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Don't walk right up on the table. Pastor, I'm trying to instruct them. Help me, Pastor. Help me, Pastor. It might be the instruction they're receiving. Pull the table forward a little bit, Pastor, maybe. I don't know. Scoot your chair up here, my friend. Scoot your chair up there. We probably should have done this up here. Keep going, boys. You're doing good. You're doing good. Now you got it, Pastor. So if those boys decide that they're going to go on, what's the young man at the table's name? Help me, son. I forget your name. If these boys decide they're going to go after Elijah, what chance does Elijah have? But the psalmist said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So there's another who's at the table. Aaron, come over here. I want you to get in front of the table. Now don't let, just push you, that's right. Keep on walking, hyenas. Now the hyenas are like, wait a minute. Now they all messed up. But see, Jesus said, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter who's just like me. That's the Holy Ghost. Luke, you're his brother. Come over here, Luke. You stand over there. But then, keep on going, hyenas. Keep on going. Now, Aaron, turn around away from the table. Luke, get on one end of that table. Just turn around away from it. But then Jesus also said, he said, my Father, who is greater than all, is with me. And he said, nobody's going to take him out of his hand. Now, hyenas, won't you boys just kick rocks? Won't you boys just, you ain't going to put a hand on Elijah. You know why? Because you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time if you put your hand on this young man while we're standing here. It's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a day, but it's going to be a bad day. You hear me? It's going to be something you're going to be telling your kids about. I touched this man at camp one time. He beat the snot out of me. It's going to be something your grandkids are going to hear about. You hear me? So how many of you think Elijah's situation has greatly changed as he sits at the table because of the three who are standing with him at the table? Thank you, guys. 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 You guys can sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Elijah, thank you. Leave it here. Yeah, you leave it here. How many agree his whole situation changed? You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Does that make sense? His whole situation changed because of who was at the table. And so young people, you've got to get this in your hearts that there are going to be enemies when you go home. But there's going to be a table. You can count on it. The one that's going to meet you at the table is the boldest line. Don't you remember Pastor Devin said it? Was it Discovery Zone, brother? Is that what it was? And all them kids were wearing him out. His daddy said they went to the bathroom. How embarrassing was that for you, Pastor? That's why you wanted to go to the bathroom. You didn't want anybody to hear. You didn't want anybody to see. He was embarrassed. He's scared. But he told his dad, he said, son, you get back in there. You be brave. I love that. He got to crawling through there, and all of a sudden he felt that thing shaking. I want you to know, kids, you go home, the Holy Ghost is going to show up in your bedroom, and that place is going to get to shaking. Because of the one who's at the table. Now listen, I'm old, okay? So y'all have mercy on old man, all right? How many of you use that phrase, let him cook? Now, I'm old, so maybe I'm ignorant. But what does that phrase mean? You're saying, just let him go. Let him do his thing. Don't nobody stop him. Let him. You got it. So when you go home and you're at the table and you're in your bedroom and you hit the Spotify, if the only thing I reach is your feet, then what have I done? I've done it all. What's the next verse? Next slide. Help me, Aaron. What? If the best thing I've seen is your glory, then what? You have. Let him cook. You hear me? Let him cook. You will get wild. Listen, I'm old. I mow my grass on a zero turn with old man shorts and a big old sun hat. But as I'm mowing, I'm talking to the Lord, and he's talking to me, and tears are running down my face, and I'm saying, Lord, let him cook. Everywhere I go, I want him to work. He's preparing a table for me. He's cooking up in here. He's doing something for me up in here. What he's begun, he won't give up on. Make sense? Let him cook. I never thought that'd be a point in a sermon. Let him cook. Get home, kids. The old pastor gonna be saying these crazy phrases. Let him cook. Yeah, my daughter says that. Ada just said it to me. She said, what'd you say? Left no crumbs. Left no crumbs. Look, the Lord gets to working. He leaves no crumbs. Let's go on from these phrases. Y'all go get me in trouble. When you go home, the world is going to hate you. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, know it hated me. The table is where? In the presence of who? And what do the enemies want to do? They want to kill you. The world's going to hate you. People are not going to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And so you're going to be tempted when it gets hard. How many of you expect it's going to be hard? Do you think you're going to cry some tears because it's hard? Help me. Do you think you're going to have some anger and be like, God, why does it have to be this way? You will experience that. I want you to prepare yourselves. And so Let me just say this to you. He ain't going to move the table. He prepares it. He prepares it. But where does he prepare it? In the presence of your enemies. He's not going to move the table. Some of you, when you go home, you're going to want him to move the table. He's going to say to you, I will not move the table. It will be in the presence of your enemies. And there's a reason for that. First of all, why does he do that? He makes the table in the presence of your enemies in a place of difficulty because that is what is going to refine you. That is what's going to purify you. You've got, if you really want to be a follower of Christ, then you're going to have to stand up in the face of people when you get home and say, I am not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be that anymore. And as you do that, that's going to refine you, and that's going to change you, and that's going to make you become the person that God wants you to be. God is not in the zapping business. You all want him to zap you and you just be a different person. That is not how it works. He saves you. He makes you be born again. But then he says, we've got to undo everything that you've learned to do in the years that you were not with me. How many of you wish that God would have pushed the delete button in your brain? He does not. But what he does do is he refines you. Do you all know what refining is? Refining requires fire. Fire implies difficulty and destruction and consumption. And so here you sit, and this table becomes a place that's hot. It becomes a place that's difficult. It becomes a place that's hard. As enemies are circling you, he's standing at the table saying, you got to stay here. You got to stay here. You got to stand up. You got to be. You've got to do. You've got to trust me. This is the table that I've prepared for you, and I'm not moving this table. You're going to become what I want you to be right here in the presence of your enemies. A crucible is a bowl that can stand the heat. It can stand the blast furnace. And the metal that you want to make pure goes inside the bowl that can stand the heat. The table can take the heat. It's the crucible. And as that flame burns higher and hotter, you sit there and suddenly you begin to melt. And you feel things and you're broken and you feel so weak and you don't know what's going on and you're confused and you're lonely and it's so hard and you just want to quit. But he says, I will not move the table. You will stay here and you will become what I said I would make you be. And what happens to metal that's in a crucible? The prophet said, I refine you as a refiner refines silver. I'm purifying you as a man purifies silver. This is how silver is purified. You heat it up, and all of a sudden the elements that are inside that metal begin to separate from one another, and the heavy stuff sinks down. It stays there, but the rotten, no good stuff starts to float. As you're at the table, all the junk in your life, as the heat is turned up, begins to float to the surface. And you know what the refiner of silver does? He takes a spoon and he scoops away the junk. How many this week said, Pastor, God has cranked up the furnace in my life and I've felt things that I haven't felt in a long time and stuff has been scooped out of my life? Who here would raise your hand and say, I've had some stuff taken out of my life? When you go home, the heat's going to get hotter and the scooping's going to get greater. And as a silversmith keeps scooping away the junk, he doesn't let the metal come out of there until it's pure. Do you know how the silversmith knows that the metal is finally pure? You ready for this? He can see his reflection in the bowl. Jesus knows that you are his when he finally can see himself in you. And he's never going to move the table because at the place of the enemies is where he refines you and he makes you. Secondly, the reason he won't move the table is so that you will learn to trust him. I don't want kids, when we go home to South Charleston, don't trust Pastor. I love you. I'll try to help. Don't trust me. Don't trust Pastor Manor. Don't trust Pastor Tag. Don't trust Mimi. Don't trust Brenda. Don't trust Trish. Trust the Lord. Trust him. God, why here? Come here, Elijah. He's sitting here in the chair. He's having a rough time. Elijah, show us what it looked like having a rough time. You're just sitting there. You're just having a rough time, man. Oh, you're just having a rough time. Oh, it's all messed up. He's all messed up. Come on, man. That ain't much of a rough time. You're just sitting there. Come on. You're just, oh, God. Look up. Raise your arms. Then you back down. Come on, man. This is your moment. He's having such a rough time. He's just having a terrible time, right? The Lord's dealing with him. And all of a sudden, he falls out of the chair. We got good insurance here, Pastor. And the hyena says, I got you now. But Elijah says, no, you don't. Because Elijah at camp learned Micah chapter 7, verse 8. He said, rejoice not against me. Come on, sit up there. Look at the hyena. Say, rejoice not against me when I fall. Look at me, Elijah. What are you going to do? If you fall, what are you going to do? Say it out loud. Get back up. Grab a hold of that chair. Don't just sit in it. Crawl into it. No, no, no. Don't just get, crawl up in it. Fight you fighting to get in it. Crawl. He go crawl back in it. He's battered. He's bruised. He's bloody. He says, Jesus, I fell down in this thing, but I'm coming back up in here because I trust you and I rely on you and I look to you and I lean on you and I'm going to stay here at this table. Though it kills me, I'm going to be what you want me to be right here at this table. Thank you, Elijah. Two things you're going to find at the table. Boy, don't let me sit down. I could talk for a long time sitting down. Two things you're going to find at the table. Number one, mercy. Bring up Micah 7:18. Let's just go 10 verses further. Who is a God like unto you? I done fell down in verse 8. Looks like he tells me 10 verses later. Who's a God like you that pardons iniquity? He passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Those are his people. He walks by our mistakes. Why? He doesn't hang on to anger against us. Why? What's the end of the verse say? Because he what? He delights in mercy. Mercy will be at the table. But there's something else you're going to find at the table. You're going to find strength. God is committed to you. Philippians 1:6. Paul says, being confident of this very thing. He could say a lot that he was confident about, but he's confident of this. Being confident of this very thing. He that has begun this good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the coming of Christ Jesus. Until the end. I will be faithful to you in strength at this table. You say, Pastor, how do I get that strength? Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God that works in you both to will. That means the desire. It is God that is giving you the desires. How many of you here this week say, man, I feel something I haven't felt before. I want to do something I haven't done before. It isn't your idea. It's His. He's put that desire in you, but he doesn't just give you the strength to have the desire. Look what he does also. He gives you the strength to do it. He gives you the power both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You're going to find strength at this table. Now, here's the problem with you guys. This is where you're going to get messed up at the table. It's when you're not satisfied with what's on the table. Help me out again with that song. If the only thing, come on. You mean it? Wait a minute. Always hate it when I ask people big questions, they give me quick answers. Don't give me a quick answer. Do you mean it? Go back to the first slide of that bridge there, Jeremiah, if you will. If the highest place I reach is at your feet, then I've what? I've done it all. If the best thing I've seen is your glory, I've seen it all. The reason this resonates with you, like if the only thing I touch is your foot, then that's enough for me. I think it's a lie. Because when you go home, he's going to move in your life and you're going to be tempted to say, God, it's not enough. I need more. And he's saying, this is what I've given you in this place right now, and you've got to trust me. Let me tell you something about an old preacher. There's been days, weeks, long periods of time in my life where I've come to the table and I couldn't find him. Because for a season of my life, he saw fit to withdraw all visible signs of him so that I simply would trust enough to keep coming back to the table. When you go home and the feeling's gone, and the emotion's gone, and the kids are gone, his table will be there, and you got to keep going back to that table, even if it's a table that you think that you don't need or want. Because if you go home and you give up on the table because you don't like what's on it, you guys stood here at this altar and you sang lies. There was a woman who said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Young people, be him people. You want Jesus to pick you up and carry around all the time. Be a him Christian. Be one who says, I'm happy, Lord, if I could just touch a string that hangs off of you. I'm going to trust you. Does that make sense? Thank you, Jeremiah. You read my mind, man. I got to go home, and I got to be bold in the presence of my enemies. He said, Pastor, how do you live boldly? See, you all think you got to go home, run the aisles, and speak in tongues, and call down fire from heaven, and prophesy. I'm not mocking that. But I want you to know, how many of you adults would agree that that is a very small sliver of your day-to-day Christian experience? You know what our lives are? The boldness that we live in. You know all these old folks up here, you know what our, forgive me, adults. I felt pretty good last night. Pastor Nathan said he's older than me. Hallelujah. I'm not the oldest old man. You know what our lives are? You know the boldness of our lives? Our ordinary lives are extraordinary for God in this world. That's bold. I'm going to go home and I'm going to be a good husband. Ain't nothing exciting about that. But it means everything to that woman right there. And it means everything to them two boys right there. And it means everything to their sister that's at home right now. The fact they can walk in the door and they see a mom and dad still hugging each other, and God forbid they might see them kissing. Lord have mercy. Ain't nothing more disgusting to see your mom and dad kiss. Can I get an amen? Them kids are hearty on that amen. All right. G.K. Chesterton said, the most extraordinary thing in the world is an ordinary man married to an ordinary woman with ordinary kids. Go home and live an ordinary life that Jesus wants you to live. I think it's Romans 2:7, Jeremiah. I don't know if it was in the notes or not, buddy. Forgive me if it wasn't. If it is, it's toward the very end of the scripture list. Can you drop the background just for a second so I can read it from here? It says to them, I think I can read it, to them, you're good, we'll get it back. Thank you, buddy, thank you so much. To them, look what it says, guys, look at it, I want you to pay attention. Who by patient, what? They just patiently, what? Continue. In well-doing, they just, every day, I get up and I just do it. By doing that, we seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. I went home and I just lived a normal, blissfully boring life. But I want eternal life. Because day in and day out, I just came back to a table in the presence of my enemies. Go home and just be what Christ wants you to be day in and day out. Don't worry about what other people think. Go home and be yourself that Christ has created you and called you to be. I'm going to close. Aaron, if you want to help me this morning. You know what they're going to sing, Aaron. And you know you ain't got the voice to do it. So you're going to have to lean on the Lord. So I don't hear no crying around up there. It's awful when your daddy's the preacher, right? How many of y'all appreciate what Aaron and the worshipers have done this week? Can you give it up? You take it. You can move everything if you want. Just lay my Bible and things aside if you don't mind. Check this out, guys. In the 1500s, there's a man by the name of Robert Hawks. And he believed that you just serve Jesus. No other way to be saved but to serve Jesus. The church at the time so thoroughly disagreed with his position that they tried him, demanded he recant his position, or they were going to burn him at the stake. Robert Hawks sat at the table, surrounded by his enemies, and said, "I will not leave this table. I will trust the one who hung on the tree for me." The night before Robert Hawks was to be burned at the stake, some other Christian friends came trembling to him because they were just like Robert, and he knew if they did this to him, they were going to do it to them. And so they came trembling, and they say, "Robert, we are as firm as you in our conviction to serve Jesus and Jesus alone. But Robert, we're afraid. You're to be burned tomorrow. And we're afraid that the burning of the flames will be so terrible that when we are burned, we won't be able to face it." And Robert Hawks, check this out. We've got it so easy as Christians. Can you imagine us having this kind of conversation? Robert said, "I'll make a deal with you guys. Tomorrow when they burn me, if God gives me supernatural grace to endure the flames, as I'm burning, I will raise my arms above my head as a sign to you, my brothers, that he's given me grace." They took him and they tied him to a post. They chained him. They laid piles of wood around him. And he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they came with the torches and they set the thing on fire. And it was a huge circle of wood. And as it burned, he preached until you no longer could hear his voice because of the sound of the flames. And then all of a sudden his garment caught fire and Robert was completely engulfed in flames. And there he was against the post, burning alive. And he burned that way for however long it takes for somebody to burn to death. And as he burned, suddenly he slumped forward against the chain. And all of his brothers in the Lord said, "Oh God, He's forgotten his promise. God must not have given him grace." And they were looking at one another, and all of a sudden it says, if Robert remembered his vow, and he straightened up stiff as a board, and he lifted his hands above his head, and they said almost in an ecstasy, he clapped his hands together three times. And then he fell forward dead. What was he saying to his brothers? It is worth it all. Now, I'm no Robert Hawks, but I want to show you a picture this morning, a camp picture. Can you guys bring up the first one for me of that cabin? Have you ever seen a more awful looking bunch of kids? This man down here in the hat, his name is Clayton Terry. He still serves the Lord in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The man here, I don't remember his name. I don't know him. The young man there in the blue shirt with the hat on, with his mouth open, his name is Steve Fraley. He's far from God today. The boy above him with a pair of glasses on, his name is J.R. Harper. He's far from God today. The boy to his left, his name is Jeff Miller. Jeff is vibrantly serving Jesus Christ in Columbus, Ohio today. The guy with the sign around his neck says, "Best Cabin." His name's Kevin Boyce. Kevin served the Lord with me for a long time, and then he got away from God. But today, Kevin has come back to the Lord. He leads worship for the Winchester Church of God in Winchester, Virginia. Leads hundreds of people in praise and worship of the Lord every Sunday. And then there's that guy in that jean jacket standing there to his right. Look at that dude. That was 42 years ago when I stood outside of a cabin. I was 7 years old. I can still tell you things they taught me at the age of seven. I'm here 42 years later, standing before you in a camp, talking about a table that's worth sitting at. And I just want to do this today. Amen. 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 I've took you as far as I can take you. Now there's a table. And there's only one who can take you on. Here's how we're going to close. We're going to sing. What song y'all want to sing? Come on. This is your chance to sing it. We're going to sing it, bruh. We're going to sing it. This is your chance. Not so that they can hear you in this building. Not so they can hear you at Kokomo. This is your chance so that they can hear you in heaven. Would you come?